Good morning. An attorney was working on a very large real estate deal. He stood to make tremendous amounts of money at the closing. Everything was in place. The client had financing. They had done their due diligence. The only problem they had that came up was the client was unable to come up with the money that he needed for the down payment. Now, the lawyer was a bit desperate for the business. He didn't want to see this deal slip through his fingers. So he approached the client and he said, "I'll make you the following deal. I will lend you the money for the 30 days that you need for the deposit until the closing. I'll finance it. You'll pay me at the actual closing when you're refinanced, when you get the mortgage, I'll take my money out. And in exchange, you'll use me for the closing. You'll use me to do the work. Now, we're both from Jews, so obviously I'm not going to charge any interest. It's going to be an interest-free loan." And that was his proposal. The question is, al pi halacha, are you allowed to do this? Now, we've learned in the past few weeks that ribis does not have to mean you're charging interest dollars and cents. We've learned that if you lend a person money and he gives you a gift or any sort of anything, any item that has value, that itself will be ribis. If there is a tzitza, if you lend him the money on the condition that he give you the gift, it would be deraisa. If on his own he went ahead and just sent you the gift in appreciation, that would be ribis derabanan. We also learned there's ribis devarim, that even providing a service, you thank a person or you give him information, that is ribis devarim, and even though it may not have any dollars monetary value, still it would be aser al kopanim midrabanan. What about giving someone a job? Now, on one hand, he seems to be benefiting. In exchange for this loan, this attorney is guaranteeing himself a job. On the other hand, the client is paying the fair market value for his services. He's doing work, he's billing at his regular hourly rate. The client is not losing anything. He's paying for the attorney to do his job, he's receiving services worth exactly what he's paying for. And therefore, the question is that called ribis or no? Since the borrower is getting full value, he's getting services worth the amount that he's spending, perhaps it's not ribis. Now, if the case was the attorney, the lender is saying, "I'm going to lend you money, and you have to hire me, I'm going to charge you above market rate," that's clearly us, and that would clearly be ribis deraisa, because he's not getting his the right value. But over here, the question is that everything is even. He's doing the services, he's getting paid exactly what he deserves. And the question is that ribis if it's tied to a loan? So the Beis Yosef, at the end of Simen Kuf Samach, says we have a raya to this from a Rosh. The Rosh discusses a case where a Kohen was in the lending business. And what the Kohen would do is, he would lend the money, he wouldn't charge any interest. But he would tell the borrower that, "Listen, you're a farmer. Every year, when your crops grow, you separate truma, your mafresh truma, and you have to give that truma to a kohen. So I'm lending you the money interest-free, but all of the truma that you have, I want you to send to me." So the Rosh paskins that this is a case of toivas hana. The borrower is not paying, he's not losing any money off the deal. Either way, this is truma, it doesn't belong to him, and therefore he's not paying anything out of pocket. What he's losing is toivas hana. Normally, when you have truma, even though it's not yours, it belongs to the kohen, you have the right to give it to the kohen that you choose. You can, if you have a kohen that's a friend, a neighbor, a relative, you can choose who to give it to. That is called toivas hana. So the Rosh says, as a machlokes, whether toivas hana is considered mamon or not considered mamon. And he says, our question will depend on that. If toivas hana is mamon, then, when you lend someone money and say, "You have to hire me for the job," although he's getting the value, providing services, the full value, what you're forcing him to do is you're forcing him to hire you. Since without the loan, he has the right to hire whoever he wants. In exchange for the loan, he's locking himself into hiring you. That is Tevas Ano. And if you hold Tevas Ano as Mammon, it would be Ribis Doraisa. If you hold Tevas Ano is not Mammon, then he says it would still be Aser, but it would be ribis derabanan.
If the lawyer did not stipulate that he used him as a lawyer, but basically self-explanatory, that after he gave his loan, that the mice is going to use him on the one side. On the other side, the mice is not using him before. three months of already just basically factoring in the ground, mm-hmm. and he's using it, so would that be a problem then figuring it out?
Okay, very good. It's like this. The Beis Yosef and the Mechaber are talking about a case where you lent the money, and it was stipulated, I'm lending you the money, you have to send your business to me. So that even is called Tevas Ano, and therefore it would definitely be Aser. Machleik is whether it's Ribbis D'Araisa or Ribbis D'Rabban. The Ramah adds that even if there was no condition, no stipulation, you lent the person, you borrow money from a plumber. The next day, your toilet starts leaking. So who do you call? You have a karza type to this person for lending you the money. So you call him and give him the job. So the Ramah says, just like we had before, that if you send someone a gift after you borrow the money, and you're doing it because he lent you the money, that would be awesome. It's d'rabbanan. But since it's being done as a karza type in exchange for the loan, while you still owe him the money, it would be awesome. However, Dr. Ramah, if you've been using this plumber for the past 20 years, and that's why he's willing to lend you the money, he knows you, he has a relationship with you, then there's no problem. Because just like if you want to give a gift, and you would have given the gift even without the loan, so then even though now you borrow the money, you don't have to treat him differently, you can still give him that same gift. So over here, if you had a relationship and you would hire him even without the loan, so then you can throw him the business the way you can throw him anything else, as long as it's not because of the loan. But if you're doing it specifically because he lent you the money and now you have a karas hatoiv, you want to pay him back, even though he didn't ask for it, the Ramah speaks out, it would be ribbis d'rabbanan.
Why would you make that request? In other words, if you don't have a relationship with him, you already hired him, why would he specify that? Obviously, he's a little jittery about the relationship about that relationship that you had. He's not sure that you're going to go through and
right, no. The Ramah also had a case where there's no request. It's not, nothing is explicit. You just lend the money in silence, and then the borrower would have used you anyway. So just because you now did a mitzvah, he doesn't become usher to use you. But if you specify that I want you to use me, and I'm only giving you the money al tanai, then we're back to a possible ribbis d'oraisa. Now there is an interesting question: what happens after the fact? How do you do tshuva on such a ribbis? Now, if you charge someone money, you lend them $10,000, he pays you back $11,000. So thereby, ribbis d'oraisa, what do? You return the $1,000. That's hashava. You're being meishev of what you took shalik it in, and that's your chiyuv. What do? When you borrow the money al tanai that you hire him, and then you pay, he does the work for you. So what are you going to do? Not pay him for his work? Doesn't make sense. The work has tremendous value. So over here, the Marsham says, he says a very, very nice svara. He says that what's the ribbis here? The ribbis is not what you're paying him for his services. That you're paying him because he did the work. The ribbis is the fact that you locked him in, you forced him to work for you. So to figure out what that is, you have to figure out what a broker would charge to get someone such a job. If a lawyer would pay, let's say, a 3% referral fee to get a client, so then the ribbis here is that 3%. You saved yourself the referral fee. So that is the amount you'd have to give back, what you'd pay to get such a job. It's not always so clear, but at least if that is the approach, that's how to figure out what it's worth. Well, if he doesn't make a tanai, if he wants to just lend him the money without a tanai and make him an offer that he won't refuse, then great. Then there's no tanai. The borrower would use him anyway because it's a great deal, and it certainly would be mutter.
Why can't we look at this solution? That is, on the one side, the borrower is benefiting from this free loan. In exchange for that, this other guy is benefiting because he's getting his...
Ochalipin in exchange for a loan is otherwise known as ribbis.
Right.
So that's why it's a problem. Anything that you're benefiting in exchange for a loan is going to be called ribbis, regardless of how you phrase it and what.
Is it strictly on loan, or can it be sugar?
If you lend someone sugar, then we will see that if you lend someone a cup of sugar and the deal is he pays you back two cups of sugar, that will be ribbis the same way it would apply by money.
Or a big bottle of oil.
Yes. We'll get to that in one of the other simanim, but ribbis does not have to be cash.
But often, right, he'll get a kickback to get the business. So, again, I'm not talking about the Baal HaBas. At least I'm talking about, you know, someone who's not the Baal HaBas. So it's pretty clear that that type of Sanah is worth some money.
Fair enough. That's, and the Tovas HaNoah is it is going to be Asur. There is a machloikus in Halacha whether it's considered Mammon or not. La Halacha, we hold, Reif Paiskim hold, that Tovas HaNoah is not called Mammon. It's a benefit, it's a Hanoah, but it's not something you can sell it. It's not called Mammon, and therefore according to Reif Paiskim,
it
would not be an Issa Deraisa.
You see that
it's like this. So the Igros Moshe has a Chiddush, and there's Machin Ephraim that probably argues, but the Igros Moshe has a Chiddush and says that this is all with your work. If you need a job done, you have to call a plumber. You're going to call whatever plumber it is, and whoever it is, you're going to pay him the fair price. Now, it's true if you were a broker. That's what you were a broker for plumbing services. You would make a cut off this deal. But if you're not a broker, you're just the end user. You pay the full price. You don't call a plumber and say, "Listen, I have a problem with my toilet. Please come down. But I want a referral fee because I called you." It's not the way it works. So Rav Moshe says that's the case that we're talking about. It's your own work, and that's why Tevis and we say is not Mammon. But if you're running a plumber referral service, and now you do it for free, he says that's Pasha Ubiyasar, really because of your point, because that's something which I always charge for, and I'm waiving that fee. But for an end user, it just usually doesn't apply.
What's the Sfar for Tevis and Abi Asar, since he's no time of Rubis being
it's not really it at all. It is. Tevis HaNoah is something, if you hold Tevis HaNoah as Mammon, or even if it's not Mammon, it's something that people want and it has value. So the same way Ribbis Dvarim is Aser. So then this is certainly not worse than Ribbis Dvarim. If Tevis HaNoah is Mammon, I gave away real value. I had the ability to send this wherever I want. I lost that ability. I gave it in exchange for a loan. That would be Ribbis Daraisa if Tevis HaNoah is considered Mammon. So this is the Pesach, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. The Taz argues. The Taz says that there's a Gemara, a halacha that we'll get to later on in 7 Kufayim days, that if a person lends money, takes collateral, and he tells the buyer that if you sell this collateral, if you sell this field, I have rights of first refusal. I have the first rights to buy it at fair market value. The halacha is that's motor. That's motor. You're paying fair market value. You're allowed to do that. For the Taz, this should be the same thing as our case. You're forcing the borrower to sell it to you. So even though you're paying fair market value, you're getting the Tevis HaNoah, you're getting the first right to buy it, and it should be awesome. Therefore, the Taz argues, he says, Tevis HaNoah, in all these cases, it would be mutter. And he says, the Rosh, in the case of Truma, the reason why that case is awesome is because there the lender, the kohen who's lending the money, is getting free Truma. He's getting free payers. That kind of Hanoah, where you're getting free pay raise, and you're not paying for it, there, that's going to be ribbis, that'll be awesome. But any time where you're lending the money in exchange, you're forcing the borrower to buy or to hire you for a job, as long as it's fair market value, the Taz says there's no way to ribbis, it's a fair exchange, and it'll be mutter. No, so that's what Ramah says. If Tevis HaNoah, if you were always doing it before, it'll continue, it'll be mutter. You don't have to stop doing it just because you borrowed money from him. The case that we're dealing with is you would not have done it if not for the loan. This is the Shita Sataz. The Taz says there's no Isser. However, Kamadu all the Achroinim argue on the Taz. And they explain the different terutz and why, what the difference between hiring someone and having an option to buy a field is. Nekuza Kesef says a very beautiful pshat. He says, in the case of a field, you lend someone money, and the deal is you have rights of first refusal if he sells the field. In that case, the borrower has the field. It's worth $100,000. You have the right to buy it at fair market value. If you buy it at fair market value, so now the borrower has $100,000 and you have the field. It's an even exchange. Nobody gained, nobody lost. And in that case, it's mutter, it wouldn't be a question of ribbis. Zok the Shach, that's true in Mekach u'Memkar. You're buying a field. So again, whether the sale goes through or not doesn't change anyone's bottom line on his balance sheet. He's still worth the same amount. It's a question whether he has cash or a question of whether he has an asset of the same value. When it comes to a job, when the lender says, I'm lending you money, you have to hire me for the job. So even though the borrower is paying fair market value, There, we consider the employee, the lender, is gaining. Because if you didn't hire him, if he sat at home, if he didn't have a job at that time, we don't say, okay, he didn't get paid, but he has nothing. He was unemployed during this time period. He lost money. So by mekachu memkar, where you're forcing the borrower to sell you an item, so if he wouldn't sell it, he'd have the item that has the same value. That's not ribbis. Masha'enking, when you're forcing the person to hire you, since if he didn't hire you, you wouldn't have a job. You wouldn't be making, you'd lose that money. There we say the lender is gaining from the deal, and there would be awesome.
What if the lender knows if someone wants to buy that land at a higher price?
No, the case over here is on Bishavel, whatever it's at its value. If you can find someone who's going to pay more for it, then the buyer will be able to do that. But again, the details of that halacha, there are many details and many pratim, but we'll get to that in Simkuf Ayin Beis. So the Shittas HaShach is that there's a difference between a Mekach u'Memkar, when you're buying and selling there, as long as it's fair value, it's an even exchange, there's no ribbis. When you're forcing someone to hire you, having a job is considered a hanoah, even if it's fair market value.
It seems like it's more a shaykh
than a ribbis. Anything that you're getting paid, or anything that you're benefiting, that you would not benefit if not for the loan, would be called ribbis. So I'm lending you the money, and part of the terms are you have to give me a job, you have to pay me to do this work. Since it's a benefit for me to be employed, that would be considered ribbis. Now, what would be in the following case? And this happens all the time. You'll have someone has a store or retail, and he has a cash flow problem. So what does he do? He turns to his supplier and says, I need $15,000, I have a cash flow problem, I need money for the next couple of weeks. Supplier says, no problem, interest-free loan, but you have to buy a certain amount of goods from me, or you have to use me exclusively for this line. So what's happening over here? He's selling it, the supplier is lending the money, he's not charging interest, but he's forcing the borrower to buy from him at his regular price. So l'chayr, according to the shach, it should be mutter. Because when you force someone to hire you, so there we're saying having a job is considered a benefit. However, if you're forcing someone to buy from you at the fair market value, there the shach says that it's not a problem. Because you're not gaining anything. It's an even exchange. No. The supplier gave him cash, and the buyer is going to pay him back in cash, and in addition order a certain amount of goods. Oh, very. So in the case of the Taz, very good. So the Bris Yehuda says like this: in a case where a person owns a piece of real estate, so it's true he wants to sell it. If he doesn't sell it, he has a piece of real estate that has the same value, so that's not called a net gain, and that would be mutter. Masha'en Kane, if you're a vendor, and especially if you're a manufacturer, so the more you sell, the more you make. And if you don't sell this one, you're just going to sell this much less for the year. It has no use for yourself. It doesn't have any value by you. It's just there to sell. So in that case, the Bris Yehuda says, Kuliyama loy pligi, that would be ribbis, that would be a taivas ana, and that case would be osur. It's only when you have the piece of real estate where you can either sell it or keep it. Doesn't make a difference, there it's motor. But whenever there's a benefit, you're a wholesaler, there forcing him to buy it would be awesome.
The bank also gives you a loan, and now all the banks are deposits.
Right, well, the banking has a more serious problem. They're charging you interest. But you're right. Besides for the interest, when they force you to do business with them, that's another benefit that they're getting in exchange for the loan. And therefore, when you write a head to risk, that has to be addressed. What? It could. When we get to head to risk, we'll discuss how, but it could, and it's very often done. Yes, the Taz would be matri, but the Taz is really a das yachid. All the other achroinim, the goyim, the shach, the ramah, the smaim, and the quintus aribis, all argue. And chavis das, they all argue.
Negotiate fair price.
Well, again, he's the seller. Which case? In the case in the, losing the right to get a good deal. I don't know. So far what we have is like this. So far what we have is that to lend someone money to force him to hire you, if you make a tenai, it'll be ribas daraisa. If you hold tevis, I know it's considered mammon. Otherwise, it would be derabbanan. The Birkei Yosef brings down the following case. A person had a supplier who he always did business with. He owed the supplier money. Supplier made up the following terms with him. I'll give you credit. You don't have to pay me right now. What we can do is, every time you put in an order, you'll pay me back a certain amount of money. But if you order anything from my competitor, the entire amount is due immediately. So essentially, there's an outstanding loan, and he's saying, I will extend the loan as long as you do business with me. The moment you use someone else, then you have to pay up immediately. Birkei Yosef says that it's mutter. Since he was already a supplier, he already did business with him, it wasn't a new thing. Therefore, even though he's clearly in exchange for the loan, he's getting this benefit, he's going to continue buying from you, since it was already an existing relationship, he says there will be mutter. The Erech Shai argues. And the Erech Shai says that it's true if you borrow money and then you have someone who you do business with and you throw him, but you want to continue doing business, that's mutter. But when you make a tzitza, when you force the person that you must use me, you don't have the option of going somewhere else, even if there's an existing relationship, that's still going to be awesome. What? When you pay up the loan. But as long as the loan is at the price that you're paying for the loan is, you're locking yourself in. Fine. So that means at that point, when you're not willing to pay the interest anymore, you'll give back the loan. But as long as the loan is outstanding, you have this benefit or this interest that you're paying him.
Maybe he wants to split
from it. He's afraid. Okay, let me get back to that. So based on this, it would come out, even if there's an existing relationship, if it's explicit, I'm giving you the money to force you to keep this relationship, there the Erech Shai says it would be awesome. Going back to our case, the lawyer and this client, obviously they had a relationship before, the client was going to use him anyway. So if he borrowed the money and nothing was said and the client just continues to use him, it clearly would be okay because it has nothing to do with the loan. He was going to do it regardless. However, if he gives the money and says specifically, I'm only giving you the money out tonight that you use me, there, according to the Erech Shai, it's very likely it would be also. Now, the lawyer case is a little bit better because in that case, he had already hired him. It wasn't just in the future. So there's a tzad at least to say that it would be mutter. But when you make a specific tzitza, when you say specifically, I'm giving you the money with this condition, it's difficult to be mekel. Now, as is very often the case in Hilchos Ribbis, there was a bit more to this shaila that met the eye. Because we mentioned this lawyer was going out doing whatever he can to get this client, and was willing to go ahead and to lend the money. The reason why he was so desperate for this client is that he wasn't doing so well, and he needed the business. Now, people who aren't doing so well generally have a hard time coming up with the $3 million they needed for the closing. So what was that really happening? What was really happening was the lawyer was not giving any of this money. He had an associate, a friend, who was doing was a lot more successful, and he was convincing this friend to lend the money for a short-term loan for 30 days, and that was what was going on. So this leads us to another question. Can I pay someone a fee to arrange an interest-free loan for me? So the Gemara, Bava Metzia and Daf Samach Tes says, absolutely. Ribbis is when the loiver pays the malva ribbis. The borrower pays the lender interest. However, if I hire someone, I know you don't have the money to lend me, but I know you're friends with his gvir and he has the cash available. I pay you to lobby him and to convince him to lend me the money. Since I'm not paying the lender, I'm paying the third party. That would be perfectly mutter. In fact, Marit has a case, and this case is a bit of a chiddush, but Marit has a case where there was a gvir who had a friend who needed money. So the gvir goes over to the audience and says like this, Al pi halacha, If someone needs a loan and they come to you and they say, listen, I know your friends, I'll pay you to arrange a loan. Halacha is, you can accept that money. So let's make things simple. You take my checkbook and let people know that if they want a loan from me, as long as they pay you, they'll get that loan. And instead of coming to me and nudging me and convincing me, you just take the checkbook and write them out the check directly. Marid says that's mutter. Because although it comes out every borrower pays a fee to get his money, he's paying the fee to the ani, the money is coming from the usher. And then Marid says in that case would be mutter. What? Oh, it's like this. So the Gemara says like this. If this third person happens to be the usher's son, who is a Kohen or Saimech al Shulchan Aviv, then this heter won't apply. Because giving this money to this son to lobby the father, it's as if the father got the money. However, if he's not Saimech al Shulchan Aviv, he's not a Kohen, the fact that the usher is happy that he got the money will not make a difference. Now, they are Medayik, which Ivy's and Ma'arit holds not like this. They are Medayik from some poskim, that it has to be where if the usher specifically says, I'm only willing to give you money if you give that person money, you know, if you pay him, that might be usher. But the Ma'arit is being matter. Now, the Machan Ephraim and the Mishnah Melech both argue, and they both say, you can't go so far with this heter. It's only mutter when I pay one person who will lobby a third person to give me a loan. However, if I'm paying the person who is the one that's holding the money or holding the checkbook, and he's the one actually giving the loan, that's haramas ribis, and that is going to be awesome.
In the case of the lawyer, if the guy comes and says, I'll lend you the money, but I want you to know there's a startup lawyer in the business.
Oh, very good. So here we get to a very, very, very important distinction. What this halacha is, I can go over to a third person. I'm the borrower. I can go over to a third person and say, I'm going to pay you to get me a loan. And since I'm not paying the lender, that's mutter, as long as it's not his son, as long as it's not a harama, that's fine. However, the opposite case is also. If a lender says, I'm willing to lend you money, but instead of paying me the interest, give it to a third party. That is clearly also. Because I'm telling you, basically, I'm lending you money beribis. Instead of giving it to me, give it to him. So I'm lending it to you, beribis, but I'm just not the one pocketing the cash. That would be ribis d'orais. Our case where it's mutter is the opposite case, where you have a borrower paying a third person to arrange this loan. So it'll come out, it depends what happens. If the lawyer tells the client, you know what, you're giving me this benefit, I'm gonna get someone else to give you a loan. If that loan is given without any conditions, that's mutter. Because here the borrower paid a third person to arrange a loan. The loan was interest-free, and that's fine. However, if the third person gives the money to the borrower and says, I'm giving you this money on the condition you use my friend as a lawyer, or you give money to my friend, there it's a halva beribis, which is just not going to his pocket, and that would be awesome. So you have to be very careful with the cases. Now this happens, this situation comes up very often. A person will give an interest-free loan, and say, I want you to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah. That is ribis d'oraisa. Because you're lending him the money, you're basically saying, you're paying interest, but instead of the interest going to my pocket, I want it to go to tzedakah. Now, if the money that's going to tzedakah is meiser money, then it would probably be teivas anah. It's the equivalent of telling a kohen, of giving a loan and saying, directing him where to give his truma. But assuming you're forcing him, so there would be a question of Tevis, I know, and it would probably be Ribbis Darabonim. But in a case where he's giving extra money to Tztaka, and you're telling him, I'm giving you, you have to give this money to Tztaka, that would be Ribbis Daraisa. Now, not only would it be Ribbis Daraisa, you'll end up with a problem. Because what happens if you do that? You lend someone $10,000 interest free, but he has to make a $1,000 donation to Tztaka. And he gives $1,000. And then you realize there's a problem of Ribbis. Talach is Ribbis Ketutza, you have to return. Who returns the $1,000? Does the Moisid have to return the money? One day they got a check in the mail, $1,000 donation. The Malva, the reason why it's ribis is that when I say I'm lending you money, give it to him basically on my behalf, it's like the Malva received it. So the Malva will have to reimburse the Loiva the $1,000 that ended up going to Tztaka. So you can go to the Moise and you can say it was a Mekach Tois. Good luck. You have to prove that you only gave it because of this, and if not for this, you wouldn't have given it. And then collecting it is not going to be very simple. Good. In theory, it might be. In theory, it might be. But the loiva will have to go. The malva, regardless, is a chiyuv to go back to the loiva. The malva can now bring the moisa to a din Torah and say you have to give back that money. But as far as hilchos ribas, the malva has to pay back the loiva. It's both. There by ribas, there are two isurim. There's an isur in the shas, the simas ribas, and then there's another isur when we actually pay it. So ma'aser k'safim today, according to most pesukim, is a minhag. And if it's a minhag, then it's not tevis hano, then it's real mamon. If the person was actually mafresh it, and it's real mois tztaka, then it would go back to tevis hano, but that's usually not the case. So that we had, the taz we had before, where that if you lend someone money and you tell him, he has to be machnas oirach, he calls that ribbis dvarim. It's certainly not ribbis, you know, you're not getting any monetary value. He calls that ribbis dvarim because who are you to tell him what to do? So in such a case, you certainly should not do it. You only have the chutzpah to start telling him what to learn because you lent him the money. The taz calls that ribbis dvarim. Correct, but in the case of Hachnasa Sarchem also, it's a mitzvah. But who are you? Yesterday, you didn't feel it was in your place to tell him what to learn. And if instead of doing a daf yomi, he wants to learn Chodesh Mishpah, it's none of your business. Now that you give him money, suddenly you have your deus and you have your opinions and you're telling him what to do. So the Taz says that's called Ribbis Devarim. If you're forcing him to give tzedakah, so that's also he's doing something on your behalf. You're telling him you have a choice of who to give it to. If I'm lending you money, give it to one of 10 people, and that would be ribbis.
In this case, for a lawyer, let's say he said, you know what, if the guy doesn't pay back, I'll use my house as collateral. But he's getting involved.
Once it's arvus, everything will be different. Let's try to keep it simple. Okay, let me just go on. I want to finish. Then we'll try to address the questions. So what happens? Where we are now is that since the lawyer's not lending the money on his own, he's just arranging it. So the other halacha would be is that if somebody he gets paid to arrange a loan, that is mutter. On the other hand, if the loan is done by a third party, al minas, that you use his services, that would be aser. So as long as you're not mafarish, it's okay, and it should be mutter. Again, as with Hilchos Ribbis, there's generally more than meets the eye at first glance. And the next question, the question that begs to be asked is obviously, why is this associate being so generous and laying out $3 million for the lawyer's deal? So the answer is that what was really happening under the table, that the client didn't know about, was that the lawyer was paying this third party to lend the money to the client. The lawyer was swallowing the fee. As far as the client was concerned, it was an interest-free loan. But the lawyer, because he wanted the deal to go through, was worth his while to pay the 1 month's of interest to make sure this deal happened. What is the halacha in such a case? So this leads us to a very important kula in Hilchos Ribbis. And that is, the issur of Ribbis is only miloiva lamalva. The borrower is paying the lender interest. The same way a borrower can pay a third party to arrange a loan, the halacha is a third party is allowed to pay interest. If you know a friend of yours needs money, you don't have the cash to lend him, it is perfectly mutter to go over to a gvir and tell him, listen, my friend needs money. He needs $10,000. I'm going to give you $1,000. I want you to go give him an interest-free loan for a year. So although the lender is getting paid, he's getting paid specifically for the loan, since it's not coming from the borrower, it's not miloiva lemalva, that is motu lechachil. Now, based on this, there are some very common shayles that come up. Very often, a person will lend someone his credit card to use, and he'll pay him back. But the person who has the credit card benefits. He gets miles, he gets points, he gets all sorts of side benefits. That's mutter. Because You're lending whoever's using your card. He's spending $1,000. He's paying you $1,000. You're getting miles at the end of the year from your credit card. That's not coming from the borrower. That's coming from a third party. It's coming from your credit card company. And that is perfectly mutter. Another common case is a person will lend money to a moysid, and he'll then get it. He'll get some sort of tax write-off for the lost interest that he could have earned. So although he's getting his principal back, and he's also getting this tax benefit for the interest that he could have earned, that benefit is not coming from the moysid. That benefit is coming courtesy of Uncle Sam. That is not miloyva lamalva, and that would be mutter. Now, where you have to be careful is I've heard rumors that there are certain maestas in other foreign countries where, in exchange for a loan, will sometimes give people a receipt as if they gave a donation. That would probably be ribas daraisa. Because although the benefit they're getting is it's a tax benefit, it's not being paid by the maestas, but there the maestas is going ahead and giving you a fake receipt. That's something which they have a loss from. They're endangering themselves, and it's something which has a value. People in the money laundering business seem to charge for it. So in such a case, if you know, I don't know that you need Hilchos Ribis as the only reason why it shouldn't be done. A moysid anyway shouldn't be doing money laundering. But if you're looking for halachadik a problem, you have a very serious ribis issue. Because to the extent that you're getting your money back and they are committing this fraud for you, that itself, that is a hanoah, that is a benefit, and that would be ribas daraisa. What? If you're paying for it, if they're taking the 10%. This is all by a halva. If you're gonna pay for it separately, and you're paying the fair market value, so in Hilchos Ribis you won't have a problem. But if you're giving it all back, and they're doing this service for you, that would be ribis, you know, ribis daraisa. So it's like this. So although the halacha is that a third party can pay interest, there are a couple of very, very significant exceptions. The first is the Taz brings down from the Sefer HaTrumos. It applies to either a one-shot or a limited time frame. I can pay someone $1,000 and say, here's $1,000, lend my friend $10,000. Zuck the Taz, if I go over to the Malv and say, listen, lend money to my friend, and I'll give you 10% a year as long as he has the money. So in that case, once I take unlimited responsibility, as long as this goes on, I'm going to be paying the interest. That's as if I took responsibility. It's as if I am the borrower, and that would be awesome. It's only when I tell you, here is $1,000, lend the money for...
No, he didn't get the money.
Right. But he says that, as we're going to see in the future, when you take arvus, when you take responsibility for money, you have a din of a loiva. When you say, as long as it's not paid, I will keep on paying you this interest, that's the equivalent of taking responsibility, because that, you know, it's like, it's right, exactly. So it's only mutter when a one-time thing. When you take unlimited responsibility, that will be usur.
So how's arvus ever mutter?
Again, arvus is a whole separate sugya. We'll get to that. Again, we're talking about where it's going to get paid before the end of the grace period. You're lending $1,000, you're getting back $1,000. We're dealing with specifically with the fact that there were miles.
But I thought that there's
a shuma. It depends what you make up. If you make up that I'm not paying your interest, I'm just paying you back $1,000, then there's no simas ribis. Now, like this, although the halacha is third-party ribis is okay, a third party is allowed to pay interest on behalf of a borrower. There are a bunch of mostly derabanan. There are a bunch of protections that were put in to avoid a haram, and that is the third party cannot turn around and collect that interest that he laid out from the borrower, because then already it's a shell game. So it's true a third party that's a nadvin and wants you to get an interest-free loan can go ahead and can pay the lender to advance the money. But he cannot turn around to the borrower and say, listen, I just laid out $1,000 for this loan. I want it back. If he does that, then it will be aser. And there's a chavis das that says after the loan is already done, maybe it will be mutter, but that's not for now.
But what if he said, look, I'll do this today, and you do it for me tomorrow?
I would say that's the same thing. He's laying out, you're paying the $1,000 not by giving it to him, but by advancing it for his loan. So that's the first exception, that if he's getting the money back, if he's being reimbursed, this answer will not apply. The second and third exception is that this is all when it's a spontaneous, generous thing that this outside person is doing. On the other hand, if a borrower says to a lender, listen, lend me money, I'm not going to pay you interest, but I know my good friend, chances are, will be happy to give you $1,000. It's not so in that case, even though there's no hischayvus, there's no tnai, it's not real ribbis, but there's a harama over here, it looks like it's being done as a shlichus, and that will be awesome. And lastly, in a case where the borrower goes to the third party and says, listen, do me a favor, I need to borrow money, I can't pay interest, do me a favor, you go give him $1,000, where he asked him to do it, he is mefayis him. In that case, like, even though he's not reimbursing him, since the borrower was the one that arranged it, that will also be awesome. Right. Okay, pays him to try. Wait, to what we're talking about now is with his third party, he's not trying, he's paying the lender. So if you're going to reimburse the person who's paying the lender, that's going to be awesome. In the other case, okay. So now in the last two cases where you're not reimbursing this third party, but you are either convincing him to do it or you tell the lender that I'll make arrangements for you, there, although the Mechaber says that Yesham that it's Aser, there the Shach says that it is a Machloikis, and there is Malkum Lohakul in that case because it's Nisa Durabonim. Let's go back to our case now. What happened with this lawyer? So we started off with a lawyer. If the lawyer was lending the money directly, then it's a question of Tayyavas Hanoa. He's lending it in exchange for getting a job. There, where there's a Tzitza, would be a problem. We then realized that the lawyer was not lending the money directly. He was making arrangements for the loan. So in such a case, if you pay the lawyer to arrange for a loan, that would be mutter. However, if the loan was given al tanai that you use the lawyer, there it's a halva al tanai that you give the ribbis to someone else, that would be awesome. What we have now is a little bit of a different issue. Over here, the lawyer was now paying this third person to give the loan. Now, he was paying a flat amount. It was for a month. He wasn't taking responsibility. It was open-ended responsibility. It was a one-time thing. As we learned, a third party can pay someone to advance a loan. The problem is that the third party that pays cannot get reimbursed by the borrower. Now, in this case, what was happening? The borrower wasn't paying the lawyer's interest. The borrower didn't know the lawyer was paying interest. What he was doing was he was giving him a tayvas ano. He was giving him a job. Now, in such a case, since lahalacha we hold tayvas ano is not mamon, therefore, although to lend someone money and to force him to hire you would be awesome because it's like ribbis dvarim, but since it's not mamon, it is not like you reimbursed this third party to arrange or to pay for the loan, and it would be mutter. It would be totally in the other machlokes, because just like you cannot be mefayis the third party to pay for the loan, over here, it's certainly a pius. By offering to use him or by hiring him to do the job, you're being mephias him to make arrangements for you. But, as we pointed out, by pius, since there the Shach says a person could be mekel, and therefore in this case it would be mutter.